Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from various news sources here on OWL Radio. The first article today is from AP News, and it's titled, U.S. Economic Growth Accelerated to Strong 4.9% Rate Last Quarter as Consumers Shrugged Off Fed Hikes. The nation's economy expanded at a robust 4.9% annual rate from July through September as Americans defied higher prices, rising interest rates, and widespread forecasts of a recession to spend at a brisk rate. The Commerce Department said the economy expanded last quarter at the fastest pace in nearly 2 years and more than twice the 2.1% annual rate of the previous quarter. Thursday's report on the nation's gross domestic product, the economy's total output of goods and services, showed that consumers drove the acceleration, ramping up their spending on everything from cars to restaurant meals. Even though the painful inflation of the last 2 years has soured many people's view of the economy, millions have remained willing to splurge on a vacation, concert tickets, and sports events. This is just a very resilient economy that continues to take hit after hit and keep on, said Joseph Brusselas, chief economist at RSM, a tax and consulting firm. Yet, the robust growth may prove to be a high watermark for the economy before a steady slowdown begins in the current October through December quarter and extends into 2024. The breakneck pace is expected to ease as higher long-term borrowing rates, on top of the Federal Reserve's short-term rate hikes, cool spending by businesses and consumers. Economists have projected that growth could slow to an annual pace of just 1.5% in the final 3 months of this year. One sign of the coming slowdown, Priscilla said, was a 3.8% drop in business spending on new machinery and other equipment last quarter. That pullback likely reflected the higher cost of borrowing to finance such purchases. And other key drivers of growth in the July through September period could prove short-lived. They include a surge in stockpiled goods that businesses added to their warehouses and store shelves. The buildup in these inventories accounted for about a quarter of last quarter's growth from July through September and isn't likely to be repeated. An increase in house and apartment construction also boosted growth in the third quarter. But as mortgage rates near 8% and sales of existing homes continue to fall, analysts expect housing to weaken the overall economy in the coming months. We can already see the drag forming in the final 3 months of the year, Brusselas said. In addition, consumers are spending more of their savings, a drawdown that could eventually weigh on growth. Many, particularly lower and middle-income Americans, are stepping up their use of credit cards. These cards now carry much higher rates after the Fed boosted its benchmark interest rate to about 5.4%, its highest level in 22 years. Americans as a whole saved just 3.8% of their income last quarter, down from 5.2% in the April through June quarter, and notably below pre-pandemic levels. Several Fed officials acknowledged in speeches last week that the most recent economic data showed growth picking up by more than they had expected. Yet most of the policymakers signaled that they will likely keep their key rate, which affects many consumer and business loans, unchanged when they meet next week. Even consumers who are closely watching their budgets, though, are still willing to treat themselves in many cases. Among them is Danielle Galino, who was at Kohl's department store in Ramsey, New Jersey last week with her 2-year-old son, returning an item and picking up 3 pairs of pants for her 10-year-old daughter. Galiano, 35, said she has been doing more of her food shopping at ShopRite and discounter Aldi and less at Acme, which she feels is more expensive. And she's been looking for more discounts. Still, Galiano says she makes room in her budget to go to dinner with her family a couple of times a month. I like to support the local restaurants, she said. A range of factors have helped fuel consumer spending, which accounts for the bulk of the economy's growth. Though many Americans are still feeling under pressure from 2 years of high inflation, average pay has outpaced price increases and enhanced people's ability to spend. And inflation is steadily easing, Thursday's report showed. Excluding volatile food and gas prices, core inflation slowed to a 2.4% annual rate in the third quarter, according to the Fed's preferred measure. That is down from 3.7% in the second quarter to the slowest pace in nearly 3 years. Smaller price increases likely encouraged some people to spend lavishly on both goods and services last quarter. There were some one-time factors that boosted spending, like blockbuster concert tours by Taylor Swift and Beyoncé. Fans spent an average of $1,500 on airfares, hotel rooms, and concert tickets to see Swift's shows, and an average of $1,800 for Beyoncé, according to calculations by Sarah Wolf, U.S. economist at Morgan Stanley. Americans, as a whole, also began the year on healthy financial footing, according to a report last week from the Fed. The net worth of a typical household jumped 37% from 2019 to 2022. Home prices shot higher, and the stock market rose in the biggest surge on records dating back more than 30 years. Even so, consumers are likely reining in their spending in the final 3 months of the year, and the sluggish housing market is dragging on the economy as well. This month, nearly 30 million people began repaying several hundred dollars a month in student loans, which could slow their ability to spend. Those loan repayments had been suspended when the pandemic struck 3 years ago. Fed Chair Jerome Powell, in a discussion last week, said he was generally pleased with how the economy was evolving. Inflation has slowed to an annual rate of 3.7% from a four-decade high of 9.1% in June 2022. At the same time, steady growth in hiring have forestalled a recession, which was widely predicted at the end of last year. If those trends continue, it could allow the Fed to achieve a highly sought-after soft landing, in which it would manage to slow inflation to its 2% target without causing a deep recession. Still, Fed officials were surprised by a strong government report last week on retail sales, which showed that spending at stores and restaurants jumped last month by much more than expected. Powell has since acknowledged if the economy were to keep growing robustly, the Fed might have to raise rates further. Its benchmark short-term rate is now about 5.4%, a 22-year high. Also from AP News, this article is titled, U.S. Applications for Jobless Benefits Inch Down, Remain at Historically Healthy Levels. Slightly fewer Americans applied for jobless claims last week, further indicating that the labor market remains strong in an era of high interest rates. Applications for unemployment benefits fell by 3,000 to 217,000 for the week ending November 4th, the Labor Department reported Thursday. Jobless claims applications are seen as representative of the number of layoffs in a given week. The four-week moving average of claims, a less volatile measure, inched up by 1,500 to 212,250. Overall, 1.83 million people were collecting unemployment benefits the week that ended October 28th, about 22,000 more than the previous week and the most since April. Those continuing claims, analysts suggest, are rising because many of those who are already unemployed may now be having a harder time finding new work. Still, the American labor market continues to show resiliency in the midst of the Federal Reserve's campaign to get inflation back down to its 2% target. Though Fed officials opted to leave the benchmark rate alone last week, the U.S. Central Bank has raised rates 11 times since March of 2022 in an effort to tame inflation, which reached a four-decade high in 2022. Part of the Fed's goal is to cool the economy and labor market, which officials say should slow price growth. In September, consumer prices were up 3.7% from a year earlier, down from a peak 9.1% in June last year. However, U.S. economic growth surged in the July through September quarter on the back of robust consumer spending. The Labor Department reported last week that employers posted 9.6 million job openings in September, up from 9.5 million in August. Layoffs fell to 1.5 million from 1.7 million. U.S. private employers slowed their hiring in October, adding a modest but still decent 150,000 jobs. Last month's job growth, though down sharply from a robust 297,000 gain in September, was solid enough to suggest that many companies still want to hire and that the economy remains sturdy. From AP News, the Hollywood strikes are over. Here's when you could see your favorite stars and shows return. Missed your favorite actors? After nearly 4 months of striking, they're coming back. Wednesday's deal between striking actors and studios and streaming services won't immediately restore filming to its full swing. That will take months. But the tentative agreement, which both sides say include extraordinary provisions, means that more than 6 months of labor strife in the film and television industries is drawing to a close. Soon, tens of thousands of entertainment sector workers could get back to work. And popular franchises like Deadpool, Abbott Elementary, and The Last of Us will be a step closer to returning to screens. Hollywood loves a happy ending. The actor strike deal might provide that, although there's still the chance of strike sequels in the months ahead. Here's some of what will happen next. So is the actor's strike really over? Picket lines are suspended, and the only rallies on the horizon are the celebratory ones that the actors' union is promising. There are a couple of steps that need to happen before the deal becomes official. On Friday, the National Board of the Screen Actors Guild American Federation of Television and Radio Artists will review the agreement and could approve it. Then, the agreement's details will be released and the Guild's full membership will vote on it. But when striking screenwriters, who started picketing May 2nd, reached their deal in September, their Guild allowed writing work to resume before a full ratification of the contract was complete. While it's possible those votes scuttled the deal, the union's negotiating committee unanimously approved the deal and called off picketing. What's in the deal? The exact terms of the deal won't be released until later this week, but a few highlights are known. The union says the deal is worth more than $1 billion, and they've achieved a deal of extraordinary scope that includes compensation increases, consent protections for use of artificial intelligence and actors' likenesses, and includes a new streaming participation bonus. The negotiation arm of the studios also says the deal includes historic provisions. The Association of Motion Picture and Television Producers said Wednesday the tentative agreement represents a new paradigm. It said the companies are giving SAG-AFTRA the biggest contract-on-contract gains in the history of the union, including the largest increase in minimum wages in the last 40 years, a brand new residual for streaming programs, extensive consent and compensation protections in the use of artificial intelligence, and sizable contract increases on items across the board. Duncan Crabtree Ireland, SAG-AFTRA's executive director and chief negotiator, told the Associated Press the gains made the long strike worth it. "It's an agreement that our members can be proud of. I'm certainly very proud of it," Crabtree Ireland told the AP in an interview. What will start filming first? The strike put an immediate stop to Deadpool 3 with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, as well as Ridley Scott's Gladiator sequel. Those are likely among the first films that will resume production. The resolution of the writer's strike allowed script work to resume on shows like Abbott Elementary, The White Lotus, and Yellowjackets. That head start might help those productions get back on the air sooner once their stars are cleared to work. Television moves faster than movies, which still face a lengthy editing and promotional process once filming ends. In recent weeks, more shows and movies announced delays. Kevin Costner's final episodes of Yellowstone won't air until next November, and the next Mission Impossible film also delayed its release. What other changes will I see now that the strike's over? Actors, lots more actors, will be talking about their work again. Splashy premieres will resume with their stars as well. Movies like Killers of the Flower Moon and this week's big release, The Marvels, have been without their stars to promote the film. Strike rules forbid actors from promoting work done for the major studios, which kept Leonardo DiCaprio, Brie Larson, and many other actors from doing interviews. That's prevented many performers like Killer of the Flower Moon breakout Lily Gladstone from having some big celebratory moments. Some projects have gotten exemptions, such as Michael Mann's upcoming racing drama, Ferrari. That freed stars Adam Driver and Patrick Dempsey to attend the Venice Film Festival and also allowed Dempsey to do an interview with People when it named him its sexiest man alive. But as Hollywood heads back into its awards season, expect to see more glamorous red carpet shoots and interviews with stars. What about awards season? Well, it's definitely back on, and it'll be supercharged. One of the dual strike's ripple effects was to push the Emmy Awards from September into January. It'll now join the Grammys, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and the Oscars in Hollywood's traditional awards season. Those shows will all air between January 15th and March 10. Plans for the Emmys and the SAG Awards, which will appear on Netflix, were in jeopardy as the strike got closer to 2024. Still in limbo is the Golden Globe Awards, which is trying to reinvent itself after years of scandal, but doesn't yet have a U.S. broadcast partner. After two major strikes, what's next? Another actor strike, this one by video game performers, is possible. Negotiations for that contract are ongoing, but a strike has been authorized. Actors who work on video games range from voice performers to stunt performers. They, too, have expressed concerns about the use of artificial intelligence in their industry. The studios in 2024 will also be negotiating with set workers and their guild, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. From building sets to controlling the lighting and even creating effects, IATSE members are crucial to film and television production. They have been severely impacted by the filming shutdown and have turned out on the picket lines to support the writers and actors. One key element behind the actors and writers' strikes has been how much streaming has upended the industry, which could also be a key point in the set worker negotiations. And other sectors of the industry have moved to unionize while this year's strikes played out. Some reality television stars are calling for a union, while visual effects artists who work on Marvel films voted to join IATSE. From AP News, stock market today. Wall Street keeps drifting as oil recovers some of its sharp losses. Wall Street remains largely stuck in neutral on Thursday following its recent swings. The S&P 500 was edging 0.1% lower in midday trading after flipping from an early small gain. It's been listless this week, coming off of a sharp reversal after months of losses gave way to its best week of the year last week. Even though its recent moves have been modest, if the S&P 500 can eke out a plan for the day, it would mark a ninth straight for its longest winning streak in 19 years. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 55 points, or 0.2%, as of 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and the NASDAQ Composite was flat. The Walt Disney Company was strong after becoming the latest U.S. company to report better profit for the last quarter than analysts expected. It rose 7.4% after saying it added more Disney streaming subscribers than Wall Street had forecast, while also increasing its target for annual cost savings. Tapestry climbed 4.3% for another one of the bigger gains in the S&P 500 after the maker of high-end shoes and handbags beat Wall Street's profit forecast. On the opposite end was Becton Dickinson, which sank 8.2%. The maker of medical equipment reported profit for the summer that matched Wall Street's expectations, but its financial forecasts for its upcoming fiscal year fell short of some analysts' estimates. Topgolf Callaway Brands was another weight on the market and sank 17.9% despite beating analysts' expectations for profit during the summer. It cut its forecasts for full-year revenue and profit, in part because of weakening trends at its Topgolf entertainment venues outside of newly opened ones. The majority of companies has been topping Wall Street's expectations for summertime profits, and businesses in the S&P 500 appear to be on pace to deliver their first overall growth in earnings per share in a year, according to FactSet. Earnings reports have largely been running in the background, though, as the focus in financial markets has remained fixed on what bond yields are doing. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 4.53% from 4.5% late Wednesday, after a report suggested that the U.S. job market remains remarkably solid. Fewer workers applied for unemployment benefits last week than economists expected. That's good news for workers generally, indicating few layoffs and for the economy. But it could also be adding upward pressure on inflation, which the Federal Reserve has been trying to corral through high interest rates. High rates and yields hurt prices for stocks and other investments, while slowing the economy and raising the pressure on the financial system. A swift rise in the 10-year Treasury yield that began in the summer earlier knocked the S&P 500 down by more than 10% from its peak for the year. The 10-year Treasury yield briefly topped 5% to reach its highest level since 2007 as it caught up with the Federal Reserve's main interest rate, which is above 5.25%, and at its highest level since 2001. Last week, though, investors took comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell to indicate that the central bank's hike to interest rates may be done. He said that the summer's jump in Treasury yields could substitute for further hikes to rates if they remain persistent. That triggered a sharp easing in Treasury yields, which in turn helped stocks to rally. This week has seen financial markets largely digesting all the sharp movements. Traders have been moving up their forecasts for when the Federal Reserve could begin cutting rates, with many expecting it to begin by summer, according to data from CME Group. But some economists are trimming their forecasts for how deeply the Fed may ultimately cut, saying the central bank will likely keep rates higher than they were before COVID. At Goldman Sachs, for example, economist David Miracle said the Fed could begin cutting rates during the last 3 months of 2024. But he sees the Fed's cutting its federal funds rate only to a range of 3.5 to 3.7% from its current range of 5.25 to 5.5%. Early, Miracle thought the Fed could bring it down as low as 3% to 3.25%, but he said the U.S. government's big persistent deficits and other factors will likely keep rates higher. In the oil market, crude prices regained some of their big losses from earlier in the week. A barrel of U.S. crude adding 1.8% to $76.70, and Brent crude, the international standard, gained 2.3% to $81.40. Both, though, remain down more than 4% for the week so far, amid worries about supplies outstripping demand. In stock markets abroad, indexes were mostly higher across Europe and Asia. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 1.5% after Prime Minister Fumio Kishida told local workers he had decided against calling an election before the end of the year. From USA Today, even after a Social Security COLA boost in 2024, seniors will fall short. Here's why. Social Security checks will increase next year, but for retired staffing company executive Lou Scrivani, 76, the bump won't be enough to cover increases in his healthcare costs, much less the inflated prices of everything else over the year. Starting in January, more than 66 million beneficiaries of the program will receive a cost of living adjustment, or COLA, of 3.2%, averaging out to more than $50 extra each month. COLA is meant to help Americans keep up with inflation so they can maintain their standard of living year to year. But the hikes are falling short, many seniors say. The cost of items older adults spend most of their money on consistently outpaces COLA, according to the Senior Citizens League, a nonprofit advocate for older adults. The biggest expense is healthcare. Even with COLA, we will not net enough to keep up with current inflation, said Scrivani, who lives in Delaware. Show me the math. This is how Scrivani does the math for himself and his wife. Total monthly COLA increase for both, about $135. Less Medicare Part B monthly increase, about $10 times 2 equals $20. Drug plan increase, $25.70 times 2 equals $51.40. Medicare supplement increase, $10 total. That means from the $135 monthly COLA increase, the Scrivanis keep about $53.60. The deductible on their drug plan rose $60, however. So goodbye, $53 increase, Scrivani said. With the current inflation rates, this puts us in negative territory overall. And that example only accounts for higher healthcare costs. When you factor in pricier housing, food, gas, and utilities, the bleeding gets worse, and older adults have to hope their savings can cover the differences, experts and seniors say. But that doesn't always happen. Poverty has increased among Americans age 65 and older for 3 years in a row to 14.1% in 2022, from 10.7% in 2021, according to the latest Census Bureau data. "We have a problem. A lot of people are feeling it," said Chris Whipple, partner and financial advisor at Christopher Curtis Financial in Nashville, Tennessee. So I jump to what can be done? What can I do? Plan accordingly. Do Americans have enough savings to cover extra costs every year? Unlikely. The Senior Citizens League said more than one quarter of the 1,055 adults it surveyed in the first 3 months of the year said they had depleted a retirement account over the past 12 months. That was up from 20% in the second half of the year. And a record 45% said they carried credit card debt for more than 90 days, even as interest rates soared, the league said. Worry that retirement income won't be enough to cover the cost of essentials in the coming months is a top concern. Mary Johnson, Social Security and Medicare policy analyst at the Senior Citizens League, said in a statement last month. Will healthcare costs get cheaper? Many cost savings from the Inflation Reduction Act won't come soon. Only the $35 monthly out-of-pocket insulin cap and free recommended adult vaccines for Medicare Part D participants took effect this year. Price negotiations with pharmaceutical companies on 10 drugs started this year, but most savings, if any, will not be seen by anyone on any drugs until about 2026, Scrivani said. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket spending of $8,000, including certain payments made by other people or entities on your behalf, will automatically get you catastrophic coverage, so you won't have to pay a copayment or coinsurance for drugs covered under Part D for the rest of the calendar year. A cap on annual prescription drug out-of-pocket cost sharing of $2,000 also isn't expected until 2025. What do seniors do to stretch their healthcare dollars? Drug costs are so high that many seniors will order from Canadian pharmacies to pay a fraction of U.S. prices. Scrivani takes Xarelto to prevent strokes. With his insurance and copay, it costs $550 for a 30-day supply. Using GoodRx, a free online price comparison platform for prescription drugs, he would pay between $528 and $567, depending on the pharmacy, or nearly $7,000 out of pocket each year. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye and happy Veterans Day weekend from Owl Radio.